Welcome to Career Tools. Today's podcast, what to do when your manager makes a bad decision, part one. The questions this cast answers are, why do managers make bad decisions? What can you do about your manager's bad decisions? And is there ever a right time to challenge a decision? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. If you're a manager, you might actually want to read a management book written for actual managers. The Effective Manager Second Edition is a concise and practical take on what to do and what to say to get the best results possible for your team. Whether you're co-located or remotely distributed, it doesn't matter. The book's concrete advice will improve your relationships with your team members. You can buy your edition today. Signed copies are available on the Manager Tools website, and it's available on Amazon. Get your copy of the Effective Manager book today. Before we get started, you may or may not know, but Andrew recently moved on to bigger and better things. He's no longer with Manager Tools. However, he's here as our guest. Welcome, Andrew Spillman. How are you?
I'm great, Sarah. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the cast. Always fun.
You're super welcome. And actually, I'm not, as you guys all know, typically on the Career Tools podcast, and yet I'm here. So all the new voices. So now let's get into today's topic. Today's topic is some guidance that came out of some online searches we did to those common career questions. We want to be there answering questions that you all have, and we think you've got this one. There seem to be a lot of people wondering why managers make bad decisions. So in today's guidance, we're going to explain why and tell you what to do when your manager makes what looks to you like a bad decision. So Andrew, what's our outline?
So our outline for today is why managers make bad decisions. Then it's not a bad decision. And we'll explain what that means. And then we're going to go through some reasons that managers make bad decisions. Like, they're human. Surprise. Insufficient information. Time pressure. Cognitive biases. Lack of diverse perspectives. Emotional factors. Inability to adapt. Fear of taking risks. Lack of experience or knowledge. And finally, poor communication, which we're all guilty of sometimes.
I think we're all guilty of all of those things, most especially we're human, but I mean, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. So in lead up to that, the first thing that you mentioned was why managers make bad decisions. So folks, managers make bad decisions, or at least decisions that we view at times as bad, for a variety of reasons. And in our guidance today, we're going to give you a total of 11 reasons and what you can do in each circumstance. These reasons won't explain every bad decision that your manager ever makes, because there are more reasons than we have time to explain. However, we're going to go over several of them, which account for what we find are the majority of those reasons. And sometimes when your manager in future makes a bad decision, no, there won't be a reason you can discern. It's going to be a combination of reasons that is much more complex than the things that we can explain to you today.
Absolutely. And we're going to give you a lot of actions to take, and you know, in pure manager tools and career tools fashion, we're going to give you what to do. But you should know that all of the actions that we recommend need to happen before the decision is made, because after the decision is made, you have to go, right? You have to move forward. And, you know, there's always leading up to a decision. There's a period for discussion. There's a period for weighing options. There's a period of considering factors and all of that. And that's the time for input, for talking about it, all of that. But after the decision is made, that's when we do what, if you've listened for a while, you know the phrase, Mark's favorite phrase is, murder the unchosen alternative. We have a great podcast called Professional Subordination that talks about that. Talks about once a decision is made, you have to forget about all the other options. and not just forget about them, but actively turn them off, actively say, we're not doing this. You murder them, right? Mm-hmm. There's a, I don't remember the quote, I'm going to butcher it, and somebody's going to write in and say, Andrew got this way wrong.
Oh, great. And he doesn't even work here anymore, so now I have to deal with his flaws.
Yeah,
great.
Exactly. They just forward them to me. And it's a quote where if you the best way to take the island is to burn the boats, right? You charge the beach and then you mm-hmm. burn the boats. There's no going back, right? The only path forward is forward. Right?
Exactly.
And yeah.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. As Andrew said, after the decision is made, essentially, murdering the unchosen alternative means that while we can and should make a case for a given course of action or have an opinion or mm-hmm. suggest an idea, those things are all great before a decision is made. But once a decision's made, all previous ideas are completely considered moot. That is, no action is taken forward in respect to those ideas ever again. Whether you were a supporter of the path that was taken or a different one, as part of a larger organization, it is your obligation to put aside any differences you've got in the decision once it's been made or taken and act upon the current decision without regard for any previous options. All of the other options no longer exist. That's as if they were never considered at all. And everyone puts all of our shared energy and effort toward the decision that's been made and the path we've chosen to take.
Absolutely. And, you know, we should note that this doesn't just apply to individual contributors and their managers. I mean, mm-hmm. first-line managers are often confused about what their managers or directors are, you know, deciding. VPs are often questionable.
Yeah.
About what their CEOs are doing or have decisions that mm-hmm. they've made. And, you know, I remember in, you know, my corporate life, what I've heard a lot is, oh, well, that's coming straight from headquarters, or that's, you know, that's the corporate office said, mm-hmm. right? And those are, you know, that's just one part of the business not understanding the other. And that's a sign of some of those kind of bigger disconnects that exist the larger your organization, you know, becomes. And some of those can be communication issues. You know, I think oftentimes it's one silo or one portion of the business puts the needs of their part of the business ahead of the needs of another.
Mm-hmm. Or doesn't even understand the needs of another.
Exactly.
Assumes that because it's a process that we're responsible for, this is ours to change without consulting anyone else in this organization.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly. So the first thing we need to kind of, I guess, set the stage with is it's not a bad decision.
Yeah.
Because often we think as if our manager makes a decision that we think it's, you know, it's bad. They didn't consider this, or they didn't, you know, consider the impact it's going to have over here. And we are going to list a lot of reasons why managers make bad decisions, but we have to be clear that not every decision you think is a bad decision is a bad decision.
Exactly. That's exactly it. From our perspective, and regardless of what that perspective is, you don't need to agree with everything your manager does. You don't know everything your manager knows. And in terms of future plans, of the needs of the other team members that aren't just you, in terms of mandates from either their boss or from corporate, or relationships that are being cultivated with other people in other parts of the organization, I guess what I'm saying is there's a lot of factors that go into decision making, and you're not privy to all of those factors if you're not the one making the ultimate decision.
Absolutely.
Which means, unfortunately, sometimes the things that our managers do, the decisions that they make at times, can look a little bit bizarre, to say the least. And yet, that seemingly bizarre decision is perfectly sound and completely logical from the point of view of your manager. No one's out there doing things that they think are, oh, this is totally bizarre, but I'm doing it anyway. It completely makes sense. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're not doing it. So,
right.
That's the thing.
There's also something else to be said, and I hope that this doesn't come across as condescending or anything like that. I'm not preaching here. But you should also know that even though, yes, you don't have all the information and you're not in the position, you've never sat in that chair, right? So you don't have that perspective. Also, you're not the arbiter of what's good and
bad.
Oh my
gosh, right?
Yes. Right? So just because it might be bad to you or you think it negatively impacts you or your friend or your colleagues, right?
Exactly.
You can't have the wherewithal to understand that there's a greater good potentially for that decision. Or maybe that decision sets up further decisions down the road. Sometimes, you know, people who play chess understand that sometimes you have to sacrifice a pawn, right? And sometimes you make a move where you go, in the micro, that doesn't make sense. But in the macro, it does.
That's exactly it.
I'll get down from my soapbox.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So essentially what Andrew is saying is before you criticize or before you choose to do nothing, worse yet, actively work against a decision that was previously made by your manager, take into consideration and not just pay lip service to, but take into true consideration that your boss's decision may not actually be a bad one. It just looks bad from your perspective.
Exactly.
Do you work in an organization where a lot of the managers were internally promoted after excelling in an individual contributor role? However, now that they're in their supervisory roles, it's clear what got them there will not get them here. If that's true of your organization, no, it's true of many others, and we can help. Send an email to Maggie. Email address is maggie@manager-tools.com. To learn more about our effective training manager program. All right, let's go through the reasons. The reasons that you could be, that your manager could be making a decision that people who are listening to this podcast today think to themselves was bad. So we're going to have a series of reasons followed by what to do about it.
Yeah. The first reason is they're human. Before anything else, let's remember that everyone we work with is a human being, right?
Yeah.
We're not working with...
Most of us, most of the
Until the robots. Yeah, the robots will take over and then we'll all be working with robots. But for now, most of us are working with humans. And not only will they make what you think are bad decisions, they'll make wrong decisions. They'll make decisions by accident, they will be prone to the same pressures that all of us are working within every day, right? There's family pressures.
Yeah.
There's health pressures, money, all of the other pressures that impact all of us. And we're all kind of trying to mitigate as we navigate through our decision-making process. You know, anyone who, I have three kids, and anyone who has a baby at home knows that your decision-making processes get impacted the first, 8 months.
Is it only 8 months, though?
Well, I mean...
Aren't they still problematic
you're like me,
sometimes today?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're like me and you're smart, you have more than one, and then you have I was telling Sarah this a few weeks ago, but my oldest is 9, and now if the 3-year-old wakes up in the middle of the night, often I'll start to get up and go into the 3-year-old's room, and I'll hear the 9-year-old calming him down and putting him back to sleep. And
see, that's how you do it, folks. That is how you do it.
When,
but you are still awake. That is the point of the matter. You didn't perfectly sleep through that because the 9-year-olds got this.
Yeah.
You were laying awake listening.
Exactly. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your position is.
No.
It doesn't matter
it really
if
doesn't.
you it doesn't matter. Everyone is affected by those things. If you're an individual contributor or you're the CEO, everybody is impacted by that stuff. So we all have those things. And we all have, you know, the ups and downs of our performance as impacted by those things, right? We have cycles and seasons of life where we are uber productive at work and we get a lot done and we find ourselves really, really able to focus. And then we have times where we just have a lot going on at home and, you know, in other places. And it might take our focus away from work and from those decisions. So it impacts everyone. And that includes your manager. And I think sometimes, you know, if you aren't in that position, you forget, or maybe it's not that you forget, maybe companies do this too, that we put managers up on a little bit of a pedestal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Superhuman almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And we hold them to a standard that just isn't realistic. Yeah.
No, it's more than we'd hold ourselves to.
Oh, yeah. But absolutely.
You're my manager. You should be,
you should
by
know,
definition,
right?
Better than me. You're somehow a more finely tuned human being.
But that's exactly what you just said, right?
Yeah.
We think not only should they be better at their job, they should be a better human being.
Yeah.
And that's really hard for anyone to live up to. That's a lot of pressure. And, you know, really what this whole first reason they're human is all about, it's going to be a thread that's woven into all of this entire podcast. And it's about assuming positive intent. And if you've listened to us, you've heard that probably more times than you care to. And we're going to tell you another dozen times here today and in the coming casts.
Yes.
But that's what it's all about. Assuming positive intent.
Assume positive intent. And Tander's point, great podcast. I mean, it's back in the archives. It's in our Hall of Fame. Please go back and listen to it. So now it's time for the what do you do about it? Because your manager's a human and they're going to suffer all the other ills of all the other humans. What are your options as a receiver of your manager being human? Now, keep in mind, and we talked a little bit about managers being superhuman. Managers aren't superhuman. And to go a step further, the day one is made manager, they don't instantly become this superhuman person. That is, for new managers especially, it can be really overwhelming to keep all of the elements of their job straight. So, what that means is it would behoove us to, I don't know, help them out a little bit. That is, if your manager tells you one thing one day and the exact opposite thing the next day, it's perfectly acceptable for you to say, are you sure? Didn't we decide to do X because of A, B, and C? And if your manager's new, or to Andrew's previous point, going through a really busy or challenging time, whether that be at work or at home, and my guess would be, if they're a new manager, they're definitely going through one at work. It would simply, from your part of the conversation, from your perspective, be a kindness to provide more documentation than you would normally to help keep your manager on track of the decisions made and the details of the work that you're doing. So that is, knowing in advance, my manager just became a manager and they could struggle with this, you might want to keep separate from your normal system in some way, an extra set of features in order to track these items. So for example, send an extra email to your manager or include additional detail on whatever tracking system that you use to track your work. And fun fact, little pro tip here. If you are the one going through this particularly challenging time in life, whether it's work or personally, you can also use this system to keep yourself on track as well, right? A little bit more notes. I mean, maybe it's an extra email. Maybe it's a simple Excel spreadsheet where you're tracking the things that you're working on right now and what their status is so you don't lose the thread. So let's say your manager's completely forgotten again. They've made a decision that is contrary to the decision they made yesterday. You, the recipient of new decision, says, are you sure? Didn't we decide to do X because of A, B, and C? Managers in this case, who hear you say this, who receive this information from you, who've genuinely forgotten, what they're going to say is that yesterday they completely forgot, or that they're deciding to change their mind, or generally managers who are recipients of this information, again, if done well, if done politely and respectfully and kindly, will receive it well. Is there, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I said that. Dang it. That's the thing we should actually do. Never mind what I just said is all for naught. Or they're going to say, oh, did I? Shoot. Okay, well, you know what? No. What I'm deciding today is a better decision than yesterday. Erase yesterday. This is it.
Yeah.
And if your manager can't remember, they're going to tell you. That is, you can be helpful to a forgetful manager by providing, again, these types of documentation. And generally, a forgetful manager, or one that's made so many decisions they can't even remember what they're doing, is going to be grateful that you're there to assist, as opposed to angry or irritated or somehow get mad about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Generally, that is. We need to cover all of the possible situations that could mm-hmm. occur. And we do know for some of you, some of the time, there exists.
Oh, they're thinking it.
They're thinking, exactly. They're like, okay, sure, yeah. But my manager's not forgetful. And they're not new. And they're just really temperamental.
Mm-hmm.
And that exists too. So what about that situation? That is, when you mention, hey, didn't we decide X yesterday? Temperamental managers are going to tell you that that conversation didn't happen. And that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And to be clear, this is not the time for you to produce your notes of the conversation that you and said temperamental manager had yesterday so that you can prove that you're right.
No.
Do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? So the only solution in this case is to say, I'm sorry, I must have been mistaken. And do whatever it is that's being asked of you now. Now, longer term, again, this is a chess game. Lots of the mm-hmm. things are chess games. Longer term, you can decide later if this is a one-off or whether this job and this manager are worth the hassle. Honestly, this may not be the place for you, but this is the situation most people jump to when they imagine a manager who makes mistakes. But to be clear, it is so much more likely that it's just a mistake being made by a forgetful manager who's a human and has forgotten what they're doing. Don't jump to this being the case. Wait till you have data. Wait till this has happened time and time and time again, because the vast majority of people are doing their very best and are not just out to get you, even though you think they are.
You feel that way.
Oh my gosh, right? You're human too. So there's also that.
Yeah, there's a really important point here that I hope, I just want to make sure it doesn't get lost on people, which is this all starts from speaking up. If they say something, right? I mean, go back to the beginning of when you started talking about what to do about this. You said, it's perfectly acceptable to say, are you sure? Because didn't we decide to do this because of this, right? Just to clarify things. If you don't do that and you just go, oh, I guess I got one of those managers that's just going to tell me the opposite, you know, and I can never trust what they're going to say.
And you never say your thing first. Exactly. Good.
And you never speak up, then you don't have the ability to either A, be helpful, truly helpful, which I hope people don't lose sight of that either, is that the spirit of all of this is to help.
Yeah.
You're not actively trying to sabotage your manager
and
make sure that, or the team and make
sure. Right, exactly. Or second guess them or you're not.
Exactly. You don't get the opportunity to help if you don't speak up. Because think of, if they're doing that with you, they're doing that with everyone.
Yeah.
And they're losing credibility. And you want your boss to have the utmost credibility within the organization. Why? Because when your boss behind closed doors is talking about evaluating their staff, who's up for promotions, who has potential, and they say, oh, this person, you, the person listening to this, you want that message to have as much weight as possible. And if they're going around giving conflicting direction all over the place, they're going to lose credibility. So you want to help them with that. So this is the ability to help. But also, let's say you do have one of these temperamental managers that forgot or is you know, it's impossible for them to ever be wrong. They never admit that they're wrong. Those exist. Listen, they exist. But you don't want to make a snap judgment and say, I have one of those bosses, I have one of those managers, and I've got to leave, or I've got to move within the organization, or whatever. You want, like Sarah said, more data. And you don't get that data if you don't speak up and give them the opportunity to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I must have said that wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Or I missed that, or I wasn't considering that, or whatever it was, right? You want to give them more opportunities to either, you know, kind of leave themselves out there and say, you know, no, I that was, or, you know, I didn't say that, or I didn't. You want more data to support potentially whatever you do, whatever that long-term play could be.
Exactly. And I would say, Andrew, and I don't, you might be getting here, but that is what you'd want if you were the manager. Folks, you've probably heard us say this one too. We talk a lot about the middleman test, but if you were that manager and you just started your job and you don't really know what you're doing yet because your organization didn't really train you, and you have some babies at home and you're stressed out and you're also forgetful, a little bit forgetful. I mean, many of us are. And you were that person making those what appear to others contrary decisions. You'd not want to be stamped with a, oh, this person's temperamental, right? They're constantly changing their minds. They're distracting us, getting us moving in all different directions. It's confusing. And plus, they would never listen to us if we spoke up, because you know you would. Yep. You know you'd be appreciative of someone saying something. So the answer is, say something.
Absolutely. And if you're ever a manager and you get to that point and you have said to yourself for the last 10 years, it's so aggravating when my manager doesn't just say, I'm sorry, I made a bad call, or say, I wasn't considering that, or explain their decisions, then do something different.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point of a Delta file.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for a continuation of today's topic.